This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, now this hour we'll announce the winner of the, completed phrase, we want to put our meat in your beep. And then we're also going to have a flashback by request. And we want to tell you about our blog, which is georgewbush.com. GeorgeWBushIsGod.com. GeorgeWBushIsGod.com. So you can go there and check out. Our post this week will be why we don't send kids to fight, we send men and women. It's all part of my attempt at politicizing, putting my political views on the internet as well as all of the stuff that we have on our regular website, which is www.philhendryshow.com. And why do I want to do that? Because I'm so good. No, because I'd just as soon be able to take my time and write all of my stuff and really get people angry, because it'll just sit up there on the internet for weeks and weeks at a time and people rave and go nuts. And it's cool. Just drive everybody batty with that stuff. A lot of crap that they don't understand. But it's very educational, I think. At least for me it is. It helps me look up big words. And then we're also going to tell you that we have our email address, which is phs@philhendryshow.com. If you have anything you want to send to the show, we'll read those emails on the air as well. The other reason why we did the blog is because it gives people an opportunity to post messages almost on a kind of a message board. And we've had a lot of people request that. I'm not really nuts about message boards because a lot of them are really entertaining, and maybe ours will be at some point. But for the most part, message boards are just a place for people with no life to go play. So we'll have to kind of feel that one up, if you'll pardon the expression. All right. 1-800-449-8686. The number here on the Phil Hendry Show, the world famous one, and off to New York we go next week. We scored 4 tickets for Conan. That's a beautiful thing. Next Friday night, am I going? No. Why? Because my 3 sons want to go and my wife does. We only got 4. Well, I guess that leaves me out. So I'll just be hanging around with El Caterina. I guess we'll watch a movie in a hotel or we'll go take a walk and get some pizza. If you're hanging out with a 13-year-old girl, let me tell you what, it's chicken strips and French fries. I'm going to tell you something right now, Catherine. I am not going to have more French fries. No, 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 no. I ain't taking you to Carnegie Deli so you can sit there and get chicken strips and French fries. Ain't going to happen. We got to have something else, and it ain't going to be pizza either. So that's kind of cool. And then Karen Bryant from CNN's Showbiz Today, we're going to go have lunch with her on Tuesday. You know, when I did that Showbiz Today interview, I was on with 2 other guys. I was on with the cat from WABC. Who's the guy with the, what are they called? The Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa. I was on with him and then some other guy. And I sort of acted squirrely because that's what I am. I didn't have my patch in my pipe, so I just said a lot of stupid stuff. Anyway, she kind of gave the show a plug at the end of that. So we thought we'd go to New York and give her a plug. I don't mean give her a plug. We'll go to New York and have lunch with her. Go to Ellis Island and look up Maria's grandparents. She actually had people that came through Ellis Island. I know a lot of people go to Ellis Island. I'm going to go see where my people came from, right? My people didn't come in at Ellis Island. My people came in through Buffalo. They came right over Niagara Falls, man. That's how they got here, in a Ford. No romantic on an inner tube story for the Hendry family. Nope. Nobody came over on the Mayflower. Nobody was over on a steamer ship. They didn't see the Statue of Liberty and go, oh, while they wore a babushka or a derby hat with a big freaking handlebar mustache. No, they came piling over the border in a Chevy and a chino hat. High heels, chino pants, a big wide-brimmed Panama hat, and a Ford. You remember the old Ford bullet noses? That's what they came over in, baby. So we'll go over there to Ellis Island. We'll go up the Empire State Building. I'll contemplate my career and jump. Then, after we've done that, we'll go to the Eiffel Tower. And ain't that in New York? Oh, we'll go over to the Statue of Liberty. Go up, stare through the eyeball or whatever it is. My son wants to go into the Statue of Liberty because he wants to stare through the eyeball. What is up with? You see, in other words, when we went there the last time, he didn't want to go because he couldn't go inside. I said, what do you want to go inside for? Because I want to look out the eye. He said, I hear you can go up in the turret. I don't know if you can, and I ain't going up there. I'll tell you that right now. I got a fear of heights. I ain't going up. I'll go up as high as the crown. I'll wave, and then I'll jump. Then we're going up to the Chrysler Building. I'll go to the very top and jump. Then it's off through. Oh, dig this. I got a great idea. And we're going to do this, too. Although we did get the tickets for Conan. I figure I can talk Catherine into going with me, my daughter. So we're going to walk down to Rockefeller Center for the Today Show. Okay, we're going to get there early with a big sign, and it'll say, "Hey, Katie, need 4 for Conan," or something, I don't know, something like that. But I'll have Catherine hold it. That way they wouldn't dare take the camera off of her because she's this cute, innocent child instead of a big, grubby guy like me. Or how about this? "Hey, Katie, seriously, how's your colon feeling?" I don't know, just... All right, then I'll go to the top of Rockefeller Center and jump. Then we're going to, you know, just a bunch of stuff. I don't know what we're going to do. But I hear that it's really muggy and hot and sticky in New York. If you'll pardon the expression, sticky. Here we go again. So that's what we're going to do. And we're leaving tomorrow. Oh, my God. Who's going to feed the cat? Ah, who cares? It's a cat. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, our buy request flashback and the winner of our We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Blank contest.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we're going to have a buy request flashback later on, the winner of our, you know, our We Want to Put Our Thing in Your Mouth contest. Or is it We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Blank contest? And here is our buy request flashback here on the Phil Hendry Show. It's from Brett, and we read this last night, and we've decided to do it as a flashback because it's one we haven't heard in a long time. It is goes something like this. "Dear Phil, please play the Dr. Dean Wheeler segment when he was proposing a monument to the 9/11 hijackers, and he finally confessed that he was trying to do so because the Muslim woman he was courting stated she would give him the prophet's backyard if he succeeded in erecting the monument at Ground Zero. Thanks, Phil, and the University of Florida has your back, Brett." Here it is. We got a little bit of clicking due to an MP3 situation, but it's not all that distracting, I don't think. Here it is. By request, it's Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, you were talking about how we could just wash this away, put their plaque up, and just wash all this anger away.
Yeah, just release it, and we can have such a great opportunity.
You can't release for 3,000 people. They have got families. They have lost children, have lost their fathers, their mothers. They're never going to be able to release. You know, they've got a lot that they'll have to live with from now on.
How do those people release it?
Yeah, I mean, well, they can't. Yeah, they can forgive those people that did this, but they intentionally did it. It's like, okay, let me finish.
All right, go ahead, Claudia.
Okay. To a serial killer, here's a house, please come in and kill my family.
Oh, no.
And you need to go back to the Bible. Two commandments these people broke, okay? The first one is, thou shalt not murder.
Well, they were Muslims.
Thou shalt not kill.
They were Muslims.
The second thing is that the commandments say, thou shalt not have any other God before me. If you're worshiping Allah or Buddha or whoever,
it's the same thing.
You're not worshiping God.
It's the same guy. He just has a different name. That's what God has taught us.
Well, God does not teach us to go out and kill people.
Well, that's true. But you know something, Claudia? The Muslim marital ritual of the prophet's backyard is something that I think a lot of American men would enjoy.
I think you have got a mistaken idea about everything that I don't know what this girl has done. It's great that you found somebody.
Thank you.
I'm an American citizen.
Yes.
I've been born and raised in this country. I have been to Europe and overseas. The country is fine. Everybody is fine and right and have a right to do what they want to believe. But when you start killing other innocent people, there were children.
Oh, of course.
That was on that plane.
Well, I think.
And in those towers. That should have none of those people should have ever been murdered, and these people intentionally.
Well, that's true, Claudia.
Got on an airplane and used it to kill innocent people.
If
they wanted to fight a war and they hated America, then they should be fighting the military.
Right, Claudia. Claudia's making some great points.
And I can't disagree with anything. I think the whole incident was just a big misunderstanding.
No, it wasn't a misunderstanding. It was murder.
Well, the last 2 weeks have been the greatest of my life. I met her 2 weeks ago. And I have
if this woman wants to marry you, why have you got to have money? Why you got to have $75,000? What, to support more terrorism?
No, not at all. To have her
That's what it sounds like to me listening to all this. You're sitting here saying you need $75,000 to give to this woman. And once you give that to her, then she'll marry you. Well, that to me sounds like she's wanting you to support terrorism, which is what it sounds like.
Ma'am.
That's exactly what you're doing.
No, Claudia, she's going to drive it up to her brother, who is an artist.
Who's then
going
to send it over there to give it to him to support more terrorism.
No, they're going to design the new memorial for the 10 hijackers. As soon as she gives the money to him, she's turning around and coming back here to marry me. And then we'll have a marvelous...
Well, I think if she loved you, She wouldn't be putting a stipulation on whatever it is. If she loved you and really wanted to marry you as a human being, as a person,
well,
it wouldn't matter what your religion is. It wouldn't have all these stipulations that you had to do. My husband didn't come to me and say, I will marry you if you'll do this.
Well,
and give me money or send money to here or take money to my brother or whatever it is. He married me because he loves me.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Dean, a couple of things. This gal is doing, you're doing something for her.
But she's doing something for me.
What?
She is allowing me the Muslim marital ritual of the rear sanctum. And I would ask Claudia, she's married to an American man. I assume your husband's American? Claudia?
Yes.
All right. Have you provided him the prophet's backyard?
Do what?
Have you provided for him?
Well, we provide for each other.
Well, of course. I'm wondering if you provided for him the prophet's backyard.
What is the prophet's backyard, sir?
If it's not in the Bible and it doesn't represent God, then it don't need to be anything in my backyard.
Well,
and all this talk about Muslim and all their religion, they're entitled to do that.
Right,
but if they're so happy and they're so wonderful and they're so great, then what are they doing in our country?
Well, I think Muslims are wonderful people. They're happy-go-lucky.
That's fine. But if they want to be in our country, then they need to respect what we like and what we want to worship and the one true God.
But have you assumed the position of subordinates with your husband, or I'm confused. You've read Corinthians where it says that you must give over to the man.
Do what now?
You must give over to the man in a bent fashion. In Corinthians it says, give unto the man that which is forbidden.
What are you talking about, man? I want you to spell it out in plain English.
Mr. Henry, I am talking about the Muslim marital ritual of letting the guy do it in the back door.
From Chicago, Illinois, it's time for Fox Sports coverage of the ABSL, the American Blind Soccer League. Well, we've got a great crowd on hand here, and with me is Graham Edge, former drummer for the Moody Blues, now a soccer analyst here for sports, Fox Sports. And how do you see this soccer match matching up, I guess? I don't really know a lot about soccer. I'm American, and I'm just another schlub that they hired to cover soccer. But this blind league is interesting, isn't it?
Well, I think you're going to see some very good play. These are all blind players, which means essentially they can't see the ball. But they'll try and kick the ball wherever they think it is.
Is there any kind of a sound device or a tracking device or anything that helps the player know where the ball is?
No, none at all. You have to guess. And since all the players on the field are blind, stark blind, as well as the referee, no one really can see anything. So the ball often, and what makes this sport exciting, is the ball can sit in the middle of the field, just sit there, and there are players running everywhere looking for it. So it's really exciting. It's quite smashing.
All right, well, we get underway here. The Chicago Grope hosts the New York Stumble here in the American Blind Soccer League. And a referee throws the ball in. And there is Johnson. Johnson almost was near the ball.
Well, there's the ball now bounding toward the outline there. And the ball is just sitting now at the edge of the outline.
And there's one player ran by it. That was very good.
Yes, one player just ran right by it and was almost within a foot of it.
All right, so the fans are cheering that. Now, most of the players now are at the very far left end of the field, and the ball is way over to the far right end of the field. Do you think they have any idea that they're nowhere near the ball?
Well, they're figuring it out now, because I think what they're doing, you see a lot of players are on their hands and knees.
What is that called?
That's called the I Spy. It's a move that a lot of blind teams use. And what they're doing is they're crawling around on their hands and knees, hoping to find the ball that way.
But the ball is 75 yards in the other direction.
That's right. Now, the fans are cheering because one player is crawling very rapidly. Now he's getting up and running.
And there's a timeout called. So why do they call a timeout in blind soccer?
When it gets too boring. And it's just ridiculous.
All right. So they're going to throw the ball in now. They're getting the players together in the middle of the field. And there is the toss-in. And it hit one player. One of the players got there. Look at that. But now he's chasing. Now he's going the other way. Everybody's going the wrong way. And the ball is now bounding out of bounds. So they'll have to toss it in again.
Well, that was very good. When they threw the ball in, a player could feel something hit him. But unfortunately, when the ball went left, he ran right.
And now we've got an injury on the field because as that player ran right, another player was running left, and they went right nose first into each other, and they're both on the field. Now the trainers are blind, so the trainers have run to the wrong part of the field trying to figure out where the players are that are hurt. How long does this take? This is very amusing. It'll take up to 5 minutes, and then after 5 minutes, they get a doctor who actually has good eyes who will come out and help them. But as you can see, the trainers are wondering, well, where are these players that are hurt? Now the players are crawling where they're trying to get off the field. They know there's no trainer that's going to help them, so they're crawling in opposite directions. And actually, one of them was very close to his sideline, and he started to crawl the other way. So now he has to go all the way across the field. And when he gets there, they'll kick him out of there and say, no, you blind fool. And he'll have to go the other way. Now look at this. Look at Lefty Lou. He's kicking his leg in the air continuously, but hitting nothing. That's great, though. That's called the air bicycle kick, where he just, every now and then, thinks maybe the ball's somewhere around him. Well, now, he just did an air bicycle kick, but the ball is sitting just, nobody's touched it for the last 2 minutes, down at the east end of the field, and he just keeps going up in the air with an air kick.
Yes.
Well, he's hoping that someone, somehow, the ball might somewhere be near him. Well, don't you think someone will go to him and say, okay, look, let's explain something to you. The ball isn't anywhere. Why am I laughing? Well, because you're very... I think you're laughing because you don't have sensitivity to the blind. The American Blind Soccer League was established to help blind players. I know, but doesn't he ever tire out? I mean, look at him. There's another bicycle kick. Now he's getting up even more slowly. There's another bicycle kick. Does he just keep doing that? That's his technique, and I think it's a very good technique. All game long, he'll sit in that one space on the field and just do a bicycle kick over and over, even though the ball is nowhere near him. Well, you never know. Someday it might be. Someday. All right, well, there's a substitution now in for the New York Stumble. Still no score here in the first half of this New York Stumble, Chicago Grope, American Blind Soccer League game. And we are live here, and now there is the toss-in by the referee. That was a boredom timeout. Said, all right, this is ridiculous. It's called, this is so ridiculously boring, let's stop play and throw the ball in again. Right, that's one of the rules. Sideline Sam is looking for the Gatorade. Let's watch this. This is great. He's looking for the Gatorade.
Oh, he ran right into it. See that? He spilled all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did.
What a blind fool. So he was looking for the Gatorade, ran into it, and spilled it everywhere. Now, look at that. He feels that it's Gatorade under his hands, so he's sucking it up with his hands. Well, this is amusing for the fans. They can look at a blind man crawling on his hands and knees, drinking Gatorade off of dirt. And they appreciate it. That's wonderful. Hey. All right. The two teams in the middle of the field, and there is the toss-in, and there's the bicycle kick. And he almost did it that time. Well, now he'll just stay there bicycle kicking now. The ball is... One of the New York Grope players is down with an injury. He went to kick the ball, and he was nowhere near it, and he was upended in a mud puddle, fell down on his tailbone, and now he is in bad... Now, what are those guys doing there? That's called a circle eight. Now, what they're doing is they're doing a figure eight and kicking every 2 seconds, hoping that the ball is somewhere in that area. But you can see the ball sitting at midfield, and it's about 2 feet away from that bicycle kick guy. So he's doing the bicycle kick, not knowing that the ball is sitting on the turf right near him about 3 feet away. So in other words, he thinks the ball may be passed over his head.
Right, and he doesn't know the ball's next to him.
All right. That's the half here from Chicago. The score, the New York Stumble nothing, the Chicago Grope nothing here in the American Blind Soccer League. We'll be back with more action, folks, right after this from Murine Eye Drops. The American Blind Soccer League is brought to you by Fox Sports and the Phil Hendry Show. At no time is any reproduction or account or description of this game legal without the express written consent of the American Blind Soccer League or the Phil Hendry Show. Otherwise, it's prohibited. You douche.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for the winner of our blank meat contest.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Now, as you know, we asked you yesterday before the end of the show to complete the phrase, we want to put our meat in your blank. And we've received hundreds, and we've boiled it down to a winner.
Here at Ted's,
here it is.
We want to put our meat in your
All right, how would you complete that phrase? And Ted Bell joins us now from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, how are you?
Well, I am excited. I couldn't be more thrilled about the winner of the Ted's. We want to put our meat in your blank. As you know, Phil, as a result of the FCC cracking down, even though we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a custom-made jingle for our commercials on national radio, it was butchered alive, it was carved up and left on the side of the road like an eviscerated sheep by the FCC. So we're trying to do something with that commercial jingle. And because it's embarrassing beyond all get out to hear, we want to put our meat in your beep. Jesus.
Well, I don't think.
No, don't try to make it better. Don't try to make it better. I mean, the filth that begins to pour from people's minds when they hear that. So we thought what we would do, Phil, is give people a Phil Henry Show CD, the best of the 2004 Phil Henry Show CD, for the best winner.
All right. Now, not the best winner.
Yeah, no, but I mean the best one. Who is the winner?
Right. Now, I don't quite know how to read some of our runner-ups. We had 10. We had how many emails did you go through, Mark? A few hundred. Yeah, big stack of them. Well, but so here's the thing. We'll read the 10 runners-up, and this will give you an idea as to how good or how bad our entries were. Just keep in mind this phrase, folks. We want to put our meat in your beep, because I don't want to keep saying that phrase and then substitute the word. So we're just going to give you the word that would substitute there as requested by our listeners. Ted, what do you have there?
All right, Phil, the first runner-up was the word moon pie. Moon pie. And that was sent in by Kevin. And I don't really know what he means by that, but thank you so very much, Kevin. That was real great. We've got another one here, Phil, from Diggs. It says Mother's Double Chin. Mother's Double Chin.
All right. And here from Mike is Koran. The word Koran.
All right, that's fully racist. That's the way to go. Here's one from Tom, and he uses the word meat whistle. Thank you so very much, Tom, for that.
Okay. Here is one from Chris Carmichael, and he uses the term meat sleeve.
That's correct. Jesus H. How I ever got suckered into this. Tim writes in with the word skull. Thank you, Tim.
And here is one from Rob, who writes in, Ajou.
Okay. Now, here's what...
Will you turn that off, bud? I was just playing around.
Is he done?
Yeah.
Did you already do Ajou?
I think either I did or you did, so...
All right, and then we have one here from Tamara, and I have no idea what she means by this. Oh, I better not read this. It starts with the letter A, and it ends with the letter...
Never mind. All right, and here's one here... The final runner-up, probably the top runner-up, was actually two words, wasn't it, Ted?
Yeah, the first word was face, and the second word was where it counts.
Okay.
Right, Phil, at this point, I want to hang up because I've never been more embarrassed to be a part of anything.
No, wait a minute, Ted.
No, I'm sorry.
Ted, I just...
I told you.
Shut up. Now I got to finish this? All right, look, I want to make this special, bud, so here's what I want to do, okay? You know that gong?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and the winner is, and then you hit the gong. Or I'll point to you. Hit the gong. Perfect. That's what I want you to do, okay?
Right.
Now, I have the winner, and there's actually two winners. There's actually two winners who are going to receive the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. So let's practice one more time. The winner is... Actually, what I should say is the winners are. That's what I'll say, bud, okay? The winners are. Okay, bud? Okay? Bud, I'll say that the winners are, and then I want you to... Just, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't keep playing with it. I'll say the winners are, and then you... Very good. Very good. All right, here we go. On the Phil Henry Show, ladies and gentlemen, we're very happy to announce today on our show, we'd like to say, first of all, a thanks to the people at my friend's place who've been giving away the... What are you doing? Don't keep hitting that thing.
I thought I was supposed to.
I'm going to say the winners are, and then you hit it like that.
All right, well...
Well, how hard is that, man? How tough is that to remember? When I say the winners are, you hit the gong, okay?
Okay.
I want to say as well that we're very grateful for the contributions from my friend's place. We're going to give away a CD. All right. And the winners are...
I'm sorry.
Do you want me to come over there and kick your ass? I did it once already, and I've got no problem doing it again.
That means no.
And now on the Phil Henry Show, the winners are... Walter Bellhaven and Casey Dillard, both of whom wrote in, "We want to put our meat in your spank bank." All right, 1-800-449-8686. So thanks a lot, Walter Bellhaven and Casey Dillard, with the winning entry, Spank Bank, the best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, coming your way.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
God, I'm looking forward to the Dukes of Hazzard movie. When's that out anyway? Do we know? Is it out now? Is it today? I can't wait to sit there and just, ha, 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 ha! I want to watch that and watch it over again. I'm going to rent it. I'm going to bootleg it. I just want you to know, anybody in the movie theater business, anyone who owns a theater, you see me coming in, you might as well assume that I'm going to be videotaping it full-on bootleg. It's going to be up on... You think I'm afraid? Do you honestly believe that I care about those warnings at the beginning of the DVD? You know, piracy is wrong. You take money away from... You know who I'm taking money away from? I'm taking money away from the studio. I ain't taking it away from no artist. Let me tell you why. I got a very good friend of mine in the music business, and she was telling me that the latest CD that was released for their band, it was the greatest hits, they ain't seeing nickel one. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? So, for instance, this RIAA thing, where we have to strip all the music out of our downloads because otherwise we should be paying because you don't want to rip off artists, right? Isn't that isn't that the point? Well, the fact is that when they use that you're ripping off the artist argument, boy, has Mike Sherman gotten fat. I'm just looking at this Green Bay scrimmage. What a huge beat. You know, you're out of a gig after this year, Sherman. You know that, don't you? First of all, in order for you to keep a job, they're going to have to knock another tunnel in the side of Lambeau Field to get that ass through it. So here's the deal. When they say you're stealing from artists, well, they're only maybe probably 50% right, because what's happening is when these kids are signed by these record labels, they're generally signed where they're young and stupid and they don't know what it is they're putting their name to. And yeah, I get it about how that serves them right and all that. But the fact is they're young, dumb kids and they want to be stars. The record companies know that, sign them to a usurious contract, steal and borrow from them. And, you know, when push comes to shove at the end of the career, when they could really use some of that bread from the greatest hits package, guess who's getting the money? The record company. So I would ask you to consider this. While these record labels and these publishers and all these people are saying, please don't steal from the artist, consider, is the money actually going to the artist, or are you just putting it into the pocket of some slob at a record company? Now, I get it about how business is business. I'm just saying, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for cats, who sign kids right out of some bar to some usurious contract and then feel justified in stealing from them later on in their careers, okay? So guess what? I just might start bootlegging, and I don't care. And I go start bootlegging copies of music of my favorite bands that are getting ripped off, and then when I sell it, I'll give some of the money back to them, of course keeping the majority for myself. But the Dukes of Hazzard movie, do you know how hot that's going to be in downtown Baghdad? Do you know how big the Dukes of Hazzard's going to be in Kabul? Those cats can't wait. What was it? We hadn't finished conquering Afghanistan 3 weeks and Spider-Man was out on DVD there before it was here?
Yee-hee!
So the Dukes of Hazzard is out tonight. I'm going to see it this weekend. We'll be in New York this weekend, so I'll take along my video camera. I'll bootleg the living hell out of that thing, stick it on the internet by Monday, and it'll be all over the planet. And I'll be the first guy to do serious federal time, and it'll be because I bootlegged Dukes of Hazzard. No, I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. That's the truth about the whole RIAA and bootlegging piracy and everything else. Just remember, when they say to you, you know, the artists, they're getting ripped off. Well, maybe what they're really saying is, we're getting ripped off, and some artists are, but mostly us. Because we have the lion's share of their deal, and we don't pay. Look at How much money do you think those bands get per CD? Not a whole lot. Not even a freak. Not even 10%. Okay. So when you talk about artists getting ripped off, you're not really talking about the artist getting ripped off so much as the record company is. The record company could drop the price of a CD $5, and they wouldn't have to cut into an artist's share at all. What they'd have to cut into, probably, would be the profit-taking of the company itself. Now, they say they need all of that money so that they can promote the band and get the band to tour. And so, you know, all I got to do is cut out a few of the limousines, a few of the big, fat backstage banquets, some of them buffets. You don't have to take a freaking limo everywhere, do you? Can't you take a cab every now and again? I mean, for instance, if I'm the record guy, this is what I say in a meeting. All right, look, what do we got? What do we got? Well, we're losing money. All right, for number one, Kelly Clarkson needs a limo? She's hot off of that freaking game show. What's with that? Well, I don't know. She's a big star. She ain't no big star. I want to start cutting the fat around here. Clarkson, Aiken, all them punks, no limos. Cabs. In the very least, one of them SUVs, okay? Send a van. Well, they're getting out at the Grammys. I don't care. I'd like to see Clarkson step out of a van at the Grammys. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? All them other cats, Linkin Park, all that cats, they get out of a limousine. Clarkson, she gets out of a van. That's number one. Number two, all you guys running around out here, you don't need no limos. What about now? You got to have a limo and your Mercedes McLaren SLR? What is it with you guys? Okay, all of that gets cut out. Limos. We will save literally $8 million a year if we cut half the freaking limos out of the budget around here. Limo here, limo there. And what's with a limo with a bathroom in it? You gotta go in there. I got the runs, man, because I'm eating all. You wanna know why you got the runs? All that lousy backstage food we're serving. That's why. All that cut up broccoli. That's why you got that. Another thing. NSYNC, no more limos. Lance Bass, no more limos. You understand? Well, why not? He was one of the biggest. Don't you talk back to me. That kid don't rate. Backstreet Boys, where are they? Back on the charts. Limo. Who else? Britney, sure, she gets the limo. Jessica Simpson, every other trip she gets a limo. I don't give a... Hey, I tell you what, we'll split the cost with whatever that channel is that her and her husband got that reality show on, okay? I'm spending all this jacking those limos for that Simpson broad, and she's on TV! Start cutting the cost with him, and that Neil Lachey punk, what's he doing? How's that 98 degrees or whatever the hell it's called? I think they're at 93 degrees. Very funny. Maybe we ought to change the name of that band to Room Temperature. In any event, I don't want... What are you giving me the break sign for, Eddie? Because we got to go to a commercial break. All right, we'll be right back to this board meeting of the RCA Record Company in a moment on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our web address, by the way, is www.philhendryshow.com. Why am I mentioning our web address? Because during the commercial break, we were talking about how, you know, the bands get maybe a dollar, maybe 70 cents per CD, but where a lot of these groups can make their money is on merchandise. And that's where you can really get, you know, some nice dollars, depending upon the deal you cut with a company. The company gets a nice piece of that merchandise money, too. But when I was talking about their merchandise, I started thinking about mine. And that's why I'd like you to go to our website and visit our souvenir shop, www.philhenryshow.com. Talk about merchandise, the Tens of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, the shot glasses, the coasters, the T-shirts, the Phil Hendry Show T-shirts. We also have the Bobby Dooley Western Estates polo shirt, the Western Estates golf club cap. We have the Western Estates spa robe. We have the cooler that Dad can take to the beach. What am I saying Dad for? Anybody can take this Phil Hendry Show cooler, AM/FM radio. It's got enough space in there for a six-pack of beer. It's got a detachable AM/FM radio with an antenna. It comes in Velcro. It's soft. It's collapsible. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, get that for the beach. We also got the gardening kit for Mom. We got the I Love Phil Ladies Tea. Check it out at the Phil Hendry Show Souvenir Shop at www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.